अंगेषु सूत्रे परिवयन्ति. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. ट्रांसलेशन. वन हु इन दिस वर्ल्ड और दिस लाइफ इज वेरी प्राउड ऑफ हिज वेल्थ ऑलवेज थिंक्स आई एम सो रिच हु कैन इक्वल मी. हिज वेल्थ इज ट्विस्टेड एंड ही इज ऑलवेज अफ्रेड दैट समवन विल टेक हिज वेल्थ. इनडीड ही इवन सस्पेक्ट्स हिज सुपीरियर्स. हिज फेस एंड हार्ट ड्राई अप at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. Purport. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic literature, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriya possesses riches, but only for the performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunction. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly, without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age, there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayan. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayan. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false position, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. सो श्रीमद् भागवतम, वी आर नाउ एट द लास्ट चैप्टर ऑफ दिस कैंटो, फिफ्थ कैंटो, where परीक्षित महाराज इज आस्किंग सुखदेव गोस्वामी अबाउट द डिफरेंट हेलिश कंडीशंस ऑफ लाइफ एंड ही इज आस्किंग सुखदेव गोस्वामी दैट वेयर दिस हेलिश प्लैनेट्स आर लोकेटेड. सो दिस चैप्टर स्टार्ट्स विद द क्वेश्चन दैट वाई पीपल सफर एंड वॉट आर द प्लेसेस वेयर दिस सफरिंग हैपन्स. सो इन द आंसर टू दिस क्वेश्चन दिस 25th चैप्टर इज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड. सॉरी 26th चैप्टर हैज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड. So, now the question arises is that hellish planet. So, some people may ask, I don't believe in hell. I may say go to hell, but I don't believe in hell. Once there was a boy, when I was giving a class, and I was describing that if you do not perform proper action, good action, because of your karma, you may have to go to hell. Then he asked that, प्रभुजी डिड यू सॉ हेल, क्या आपने नरक देखा है? देन आई सेड अभी तक जाने का गया कब है पता नहीं मुझे, लेकिन मैंने नहीं देखा. देन हाउ यू बिलीव दैट देयर इज हेल इफ यू डोंट नो वेयर इज हेल, इफ यू डिडंट सी वेयर इज हेल, देन हाउ यू बिलीव सच थिंग्स दैट देयर इज समथिंग कॉल्ड हेल एंड हेवन? सो दैट्स अ गुड क्वेश्चन. इफ यू डिडंट सॉ इट, हाउ कैन यू बिलीव इट? So, then I asked him the question, did you saw the hell doesn't exist? He said, I also didn't saw the hell doesn't exist. Did you even search the whole universe to come to the conclusion that hell doesn't exist? He said, no, I didn't search the whole universe. Then how you can say that hell doesn't exist? You may say hell may exist or may not exist. Because I didn't saw it, you didn't saw it. As I didn't saw it, you say that hell doesn't exist. Similarly, you didn't also saw anything. How you can say it doesn't exist? You may say it may exist or may not exist. So I said there is a 50-50 chance. It may exist, it may not exist. If it doesn't exist, well and good. Everything is fine. Nothing will happen. Whatever you do nonsense, nothing will happen. After death, everything will end. But what if hell is there? फिर तेरा क्या होगा कालिया? So just imagine, we are just assuming that it doesn't exist and we are claiming that I can do anything. But what if it really exists? What will happen to you? So an intelligent person will not take a chance. He will certainly try to see that how he can overcome that possibility also. And it is better that to lead a life of good behavior is always a fruitful thing. Just like, as we know, that many times we say, do not perform the sinful activities. There are four regulative principles which has been prescribed in ISKCON society as a standard of human form of life. No meeting, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These four are the basic foundation principle of for any person to be called as a human being. So at least if we follow these four regulative principles, we are avoiding so many sinful actions. And even if there is, whether it is hell or not, no hell, whether there is heaven or no heaven, even if we avoid all these four things, still our life in this world become happy. By not eating unwanted things like non-vegetarian and other things, we'll be freed from the health problem. As we all know, even doctor says that a lot of the cholesterol problem is because of eating non-vegetarian diet. So even if you want to live happily and healthy in this life, you must give up this non-veg items and other things. And intoxication, whether hell exists or not, if you give up intoxication, that is good for your health. You'll become happy. You will live a long life and free from disease life. So it is whether something is there after death or not, at least think that let my this life becomes happy. So for that purpose also, we need to live a life of following four regulative principles. That will be helpful for us. So that was one of the way to describe about whether the hell exists or not. But now since we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect theistic knowledge which came directly from the Supreme Lord. So yes, the hell does exist, even though we didn't have seen it, but it does exist. And it is described where this hell resides. In the 14 planetary system, the lowest planetary system is Patal Loka. Below the Patal Loka, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. Shukdev Goswami says that I am just describing you 28 hellish planets, that's all. But there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets exist just below Patal Loka and above Garbhodak Ocean. In that space between Patal Loka and Garbhodak Ocean, in that space there are so many hellish planets are there. But Shukdev Goswami just describes 28 hellish planets in this chapter. So all those discussion must have happened. You must have already heard it from other speakers. So I will not go in detail about it. But in this shloka, which is describing the last of the hellish planets called as Suchir Mukha, in this shloka, the description of the last, or the description of the last of the 28 planets, hellish planet is Suchir Mukha, where it is said that when somebody is very much miserly person, who doesn't share his riches and very much greedy about the wealth, he generally goes down to the Suchir Mukha, where the Yamdutas gives lot of punishment to them. Now, what is this description? How this thing happens? So, regarding going to the hellish planet, many people are very curious that how the people goes to the hellish planet, what happens after death. Many people are very much curious to know. And many people, even in various programs we give, many people have these doubts. Prabhu ji, marne ke baad kya hota hai? Aadmi narak mein kaise jata hai? Kya kya hota hai raste mein? And many times when in somebody's house, if somebody passes away, mostly they ask the devotees to come and perform kirtan at their house and speak some katha. So we tend to discuss some of the description about the passing away of the soul, how he progresses towards the hellish planets and he can overcome the hellish condition also. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, the description about how the soul travels the path towards hellish condition of life has been described. It is described in the, in the fourth canto as well as in the sixth canto, I think. How it has been, how that goes to different planets, hellish planets. So, it has been described that when a person dies or at the time of the death, the Yamdutas come to take the soul. And I will just try to speak some collective story from the Garuda Puran also. And I will try to speak this story in a relevant form for today's society. So it is a mixture of Bhagavatam, Garuda Puran and some of our experiences in this world. So it will be easy to understand. So when somebody is about to die, he remembers all the things he has done in his past life. Whatever he does in his whole life, he remembers all those things. So there is one small funny story which you might have heard, that once there was a person who is about to die, very old person. He was asking, "Where is my first son?" So the first son, the elder son, comes there and says, "Father, I am here. Don't worry. Just relax and don't think about your home and other things. Completely forget everything and just think about the Lord." But the father says, "Okay, my elder son is here. Where is my middle son?" The middle son also comes there and says, "Father, I am here, so don't worry, I am here." So he asked about, where is my youngest son? Youngest son also come there and says, I am here, don't worry. And he asks, where is my wife? The wife says, I am also here, don't worry. So if everybody is here, then who is at the shop? That person is asking the same thing. Everybody is here, who is at the shop then? So even at the time of death, person is thinking about his shop and other activities. So Krishna says in Gita that at the time of death, whatever you remember, you will get birth accordingly. So if you remember your shop at the time of death, certainly your next birth will be in the same consciousness where you will have the proximity of your shop so that you can attain that thing. Even there is one wonderful story of Kailas. When Narad Muni comes to a small boy, his name was Kailas, and Narad Muni asks, oh Kailas, would you like to come to Vaikuntha? Kailas says, I am such a young boy now, I have to go to school. After some time I will go with you to the Vaikuntha. Come after some more time, when I become young. So Narad Muni goes there, and comes after some more years. At that time, this Kailas boy was doing his college life. And he asks, Narad Muni asks, now you are ready to come to Vaikuntha? Kailas says, sorry, now I am young. I am thinking about my future career. So many things I have in my mind. I am planning so many things. Not now, after some time. So Narad Muni comes after some time. At the time, the Kailash, he was having a family life, many kids. So Narad Muni says, now you are grown up, now you can come to Vaikuntha if you want. Kailash says, how can I come now? I have so many responsibilities. I have wife, I have kids, I have to take care of them. So many responsibilities, I cannot come now. Come after some time when I become old. So Narad Muni goes again and come when he becomes old. So at the time of the old age, even the Kailas say the same thing. Now I am old, now retired life. Now actually I am living my life now because I am retired now. Previously I was just running here and there earning money. I never spent my time with my family members and relatives. So it is my time to spend with my grandsons, grandchildren. So not now, after some time. When my grandchildren get married, then I will come. So when Narad Muni comes back later, he realizes that Kailash have left his body. So Narad becomes very much upset. He thinks that, oh, such a poor soul. He could have achieved the highest destination of going back to Vaikuntha, but now he has spoiled his life. And when Narad Muni was leaving the house, in the garden, Angan, in the courtyard, he saw one dog, a stray dog, approaching him, barking at him. Narad Muni become little bit startled and he thought, who is this dog? Why is barking at me? Then dog was started to speak, oh Narad Muni, didn't you recognize me? I am the same Kailash. So Narad Muni says, "Are, how you become dog now?" So Narad Muni says, that Kailas says that when I was about to die, I realized that my children are not at all very much competent to handle my properties. So I was just thinking that how my kids will be able to work on it. Better I should help them to protect my property. So after, when I left my body, I become a dog in the same place. Now I am guarding my property now. I am guarding this house. I am guarding my property. Anybody who is not good, who is a cheater, I bark at them and I make them run away from my property. So I am protecting my property. So Narad Muni said, see, previously you was a human being. Now you have become a dog. Forget about all these things and come back to Vaikuntha. Still now I am ready to take you back to Vaikuntha. But Kailas was saying, my children are not intelligent. They can be cheated very easily. By being a dog, God has given me very much. God has very much compassionately blessed me with this dog body.
So now I can take care of a property. So Narad Muni, I am very busy now. Please come after some time. So Narad Muni, after some years, he come back. He sees that, he understand that the dog died. So he asked, Narad Muni asked the childrens of Kailash and says that, how your dog died? He said that one day there was a robber attacking our house, and this dog has very valiantly fought with the robber, and in that fight the dog has died. It was a very nice dog. He has taken good care of our property. And in this way, Narad Muni realized that again he has spoiled his life. Now we don't know where he will be, where his soul has gone to, which body. And when he was leaving the house, again in the courtyard was snake came. And snake was slithering there and came to Narad Muni and started speaking. Oh Narad Muni, didn't you recognize me? I am the same Kailash who previously was a dog, now I become a snake. So Narad Muni says, how you become snake? So I think saying that, now this snake body is very good. Previously I was having a dog body, but that dog body was only able to bite some person. Because of barking, the people will run away. But in this snake body, I am very much ferocious now. Now I can guard my wealth, my property very nicely. Nobody is able to resist me. Now everybody is afraid of coming to this property. So now Narad Muni thought, this poor person, first he was not ready. He has led his miserable life, then become a dog, now become a snake. Now if I don't interfere now, don't know what he'll become next. So he informs his family members that, do you know that in your courtyard there is a big fierce snake is staying, and your kids are very small. Your kids are having danger from this snake. So do something of this snake. So all the family members come and kill that snake. And the snake was shouting, oh, you are my family members. Why you are killing me? I am protecting you. But nobody is able to understand his language. And all the family members killed the same person whom he is protecting. So in this story, what we understand that at the time of death, whatever we are having a consciousness, whatever consciousness we have, accordingly we'll take the next birth. If you are very much attached to the property, very much attached to the post and position which you belong to, you will get the next body accordingly, suitable for your, according to your desire. So when we give a 6-day session course on Bhagavad Gita, also we says that the next janma or the punarjanma that happens depends on two things. One is our desire and second is our karma. Two things on which the next birth is depend. Now let's say in this birth, if you are not happy with this body, you may think that, oh, why I have taken birth in India? Wouldn't it be nice if I taken birth in America or England or Australia? That will be nice. So okay, at the end of the life, if you have this consciousness, you will certainly get a birth where you desire. But as per your karma, you may become cockroach, rat, cat, dog, whatever. You will get birth in America, no doubt. But as per your karma, your body will be something else. So all your desires will be fulfilled. But according to the karma, the nature of body will be awarded. So from this understanding, we see that whatever you are desiring now, those desires will be satisfied. But in what proportion will depend upon your karma. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, here also that thing has been described, that one who thinks and very much proud about his wealth, always think, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is always twisted. Such person will always think about others in an ill manner. He thinks, oh, this person is coming to me because now I have wealth. Jab zarurat padti hai tabhi mere paas aata hai. Jab zarurat nahi hoti to poochta bhi nahi hai. So in this way, a person who is very much attached to his post and position, he always think in this twisted manner. His vision is always twisted. Vision is twisted doesn't mean that he is bhengna, aisa nahi hota. His vision is twisted means he is always thinking that somebody is trying to take benefit out of me. And in this way, he is always very much suspicious about others. It is also said that indeed he even suspects his superiors. So here the translation says, when somebody who is very much proud about his position and wealth, he even becomes suspicious about his superiors also, like his parents, his guru also, his well-wisher people. He also start thinking that, oh, these people are taking my, speaking against me or speaking for me because I have money now. So that is a very dangerous thing, because all these things will lead us to our fall down by performing Vaishnava Prada again. So one should be very careful about the post and position we are having. Especially when lot of money comes, we have to be very careful. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. So when somebody have lot of money, more than what is required, then he is always very much fearful and is very much cautious that nobody should take away that wealth. And he's always like a wretched fiend. Wretched fiend means he's always, we can say, fiend in the sense an animal. You might have seen some birds like pigeon, sparrow, or some small animals like squirrel also, if you find here sometimes. They're always fearful that somebody may attack them. And even if such animals are eating something, they cannot eat peacefully. They are always looking here and there, thinking that somebody may attack them. So they are not peaceful. So similarly, a person who is having a lot of wealth, he is not peaceful at all. He always thinks that somebody will take away my position and post. I remember in the initial days of in our GEV, when I was working in one department, there was one employee. He was working here for a long time, and it was so happening that in that department, no new person is joining. And whenever a new person comes, somehow or other that new person runs away from that place. Not more than 3 or 4 months, he will stay in that department. So I was very much curious that why this is happening. Why this, in this department, why no newcomer is waiting or staying back. Later I realized that the supervisor of that department was very much fearful that some new person will come and will take away my post, and I will be kicked off from this department. And he didn't wanted to share his post, and that's why he was giving trouble to other new people by canvassing against him, by speaking ill about him, by not helping or assisting or supporting him. He is always giving torture to that person, and that's why the new person is not willing to stay there. Now, why this thing is happening? Because that person is very much attached to his position, and because of which he was always fearful that somebody else will take away his post. So that is the thing. But after some time, he himself left because of certain things. But thing is the same, that If you are very much attached to certain post and position, if you are attached to your property and your wealth, you are not happy at all. You will always be fearful that somebody else will take away that thing. So here, the description about the same person has been described. Next, it is said that he is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. So he is always in anxiety, and he doesn't know what it means to be free from anxiety. Just like one more incident. When we join new to Krishna consciousness, you must have also experienced the same thing. That people will always say, why you are not earning? Why are you not doing any job? Become responsible. And so many people, your relatives will always scold you that phokat ka khata hai, vagara vagara. So many things they will say. But the reason, the actual reason why these people are scolding us, because they see that we are not doing anything and we are still happy. And they think that we are working so hard, working to our highest extent, and still we are not feeling any happiness. And these people are not doing anything and they are very happy. So because of that envious behavior, envious nature, they always are into anxiety that how it is that these people are happy and we are not happy. Even though they don't earn anything and we are earning so many things, but still we are not happy in the life. So this kind of enviousness is presented from their words also, by saying that you are useless people, burden to the society, not doing anything, not contributing anything to the society. It is coming out of jealous and enviousness. So they don't know what it means to be free from anxiety. So because they are living in this material world, working on enjoying the sense gratification, so they are always in anxiety mood. Here it is said, because of this, they are put into the hell called Suchirmukha, where the official of Yamraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing clothes. So this is the very painful punishment, as you can see. In all the other hellish planet that has been described, of course there are very highly graphic description is there about other hellish planets. But this is also a very serious thing, that just imagine somebody is stitching you from your skin. So it can be very painful. There are thousands of cuts on your body and somebody is stitching you. It will be more painful. Sometimes that one cut that happens on our skin doesn't give much trouble, but somebody goes through a pain of stitching, he can understand the very severeness of the pain. So that pain is very, very gruesome in one sense. So here Srila Prabhupada also mentioned one nice thing, that one should not earn more than required. If he has money more than required, then he will always feel anxiety. He will never feel satisfied in his life, because he has more money than they are requiring. So one time one person asked, I was hearing from one of the lecture by His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, one devotee asked Maharaj that how much is enough, that we say that one should not have more than required money. Whatever extra money is there, we should donate it. Srila Prabhupada also saying the same thing. Whatever extra money we have, we should donate it for the purpose of Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness. But it is very difficult to define or make a line how much is enough. For somebody, 10 crore may be enough. For somebody it can be 1 lakh also, that is enough. And even for somebody 10 crore is also not enough. So how we can differentiate the things? So Maharaj gave a very wonderful description that when you understand that for earning money you are compromising with your sadhana, that means you are doing more than, you are doing atyahar or atyanta prayas. So how we can make a rule, thumb rule, that whether we are going out of the out of our need when we are compromising with our sadhana. As long while earning money or while gaining something, if you are not compromising with your sadhana, then that kind of earning is acceptable. But for earning more money, if you are compromising with your sadhana, with your japa, with your association, with your swadhyaya and other things, that means you are going extra endeavor, doing extra endeavor, that is called atyahara or prayas, atyadhik prayas. So that can be avoided. That will be better.
So in this way, we have to understand.
Now, how a person travels to a hellish planet? It has been described that the Yamduta comes to take away the soul. The soul is very much eager to stay where he is staying with his family. So it is said that for 10 days, the soul remains at the same house. The Yamdutas allows him to stay for 10 days in the same house to see what happens. Generally, a living entity is very much attached to his family members. He is thinking that, oh, my wife is so much crying for me, my children, they are crying for me. And because of that attachment, he is not willing to go with Yamdutas. So Yamdutas allows him to stay for 10 days at the same house. In these 10 days, when the soul stays there, the soul observes the behavior of his own family members. And at the end of the 10th day, he himself is very eager that Yamduta may come and take him away, because he become very much, he cannot tolerate even to stay for a moment in the same house. Previously, he was very much attached to it. So what happens? I will just try to recreate the story according to our understanding that in the first day, when the first day is there, the people are crying. So the soul is very much thinking, oh, God has done lot of injustice to me. See how my relatives are crying for me. And then in this way, he also cries. But at the end of the first day, we realize that he sees so many people. Some people are really very much close to him and loves him very much. They stay. But those who are just lip service, they just start thinking, oh, अभी अब तो जाना है, अभी निकल जाते हैं, कल बच्चे का स्कूल है, हम अभी रुक नहीं सकते, कल ऑफिस है, ऑफिस जाना है, and they leaves away. The soul sees the things happening and thinks that, oh, I thought this person is very much close to me, he is very much good well-wisher for me, he is a nice relative, but now I understand his real nature. He doesn't even want to stay to express his feelings for me. Now I understand what he really is. Now the second day comes. Now second day is, some people stay in the house. They are also into grief. But slowly, slowly, the half of the people also leave at the end of the second day. And only some core members of the house only remains. So he realizes, these are my real well-wisher. These are my real relatives who loves me very much. But at the end of the third day, the discussion starts happening in the house. What discussion happens? The son say, son and his daughter-in-law start thinking that who will do the Shraddha ceremony, who will do the expenses of his 10th and 12th day ceremony. And there is a fight between two sons and two daughter-in-laws. Daughter-in-law fighting among each other, saying that why you have to do all the expenses, why not your other brother do the expenses. And in this way, both the sons and daughter-in-law fights. And after some time, all these things that the soul or that dead person is seeing the things, he realized that these are my sons. I was thinking that I have given lot of good culture, good sanskar to my children. But they are fighting over who will do the expense of his 10th and 12th ceremony. 10th and 12th day ceremony. What kind of children I have given birth to. And he is condemning them like anything. But later he sees, after fighting also, they realize that nobody is going to do any expenses. They are going to take away my own savings from my bank account only. So they take bank their own bank account money and do the, all the expenses of his Shraddha Vidhi and other things. After third day and fourth day, now the actual fight start to happen. Who will take the property? Which property will go to whom? Who will take the house? Who will take the land? All these things started is been discussed within the 10-day period only. All this thing has been observed by the soul who is staying in that house for 10 days. So after some time, he realizes that nobody really loves me. And he sees that only one person who is really upset still, who is really very much in grief stricken, is his wife only. So he thinks, oh, she is the only one who really loves me, and she is very much grief stricken because of my passing away. So she is the one person. But later he also realized that why she is crying. She is not crying because his husband passed away. Of course, some grief is there. But actually what she is afraid of, now I am alone. The wife is thinking, now I am alone. My husband has passed away. Now what will happen to me? Now this son will say, you stay with that son. The other son will say, you stay with this son. Now she is not thinking what will happen to my husband. She is thinking what will happen to me now. And because of which she is unhappy. She is feeling, she is crying not because his husband died, but now she is crying because what will happen to her now when his husband passed away, when her husband passed away. So that is how all the things, the scene of the house is being observed by that soul who is waiting there. And even at the day of 7th and 8th day, he is now waiting that when Yamduta will come and take me away. I don't want to stay in this house now. So when the Yamduta comes, he is ready now. He is saying, now I don't have any attachment for my house. Not for my wife, not for my children, nobody. I realize these people are just become selfish now. They have no love for me. They are very much attached to my property, wealth and position. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. Now he becomes morose, thinking that all this life I have earned so much wealth, so much money for my family members. But at the end of the life, what I am taking away? Nothing. I am just taking away my own karma. And with this karma, I am going to suffer in the hellish planet. And in this way, the Yamduta take him to Yamaloka. It takes almost 1 year, 1 whole year for a soul to reach the Yamaloka, where Yamraj decides his fate, what will happen. In the Srimad Bhagavata, one very interesting incident comes about Maharaj Nriga. You must have heard in the 10th canto about Maharaj Nriga, where Maharaj Nriga, he committed certain a small mistake. Even it is not mistake, it happened unknowingly, but still it was a mistake. So he was taken to Yamraj, and there Chitragupta, he said that this Maharaj Nriga is having so many pious bank balance, and he is having only one mistake in his life. So Yamraj says, you make a choice now. You have unlimited pious activity. For that, you can enjoy heavenly kingdom for as many years. But you have one small mistake for which you have to suffer for some time. What you want to do? Whether you wish to suffer for your sinful action first, or you want to enjoy first? So Maharaj Nriga, thinking that only one small mistake is there, let me first enjoy my mistake, suffer for my mistake, and then whole remaining time I will be enjoying in the heavenly planets. So immediately he was transferred into on the earth in near Dwarka in the dried up well, where he became a lizard. So in that description we understand that the Chitragupta and Yamraj, they ask, in one sense, the soul, what you want to do first? Want to suffer first or enjoy first? And accordingly, according to the desire of the soul, they are being treated accordingly. So we can say, or we can see, that how a person is suffering. So there is simple, very simple thing. If you commit sinful actions, you will get sinful reaction. For the sinful reaction, you have to suffer hellish condition. If you perform pious activity, you will get pious result, and for that you will enjoy in the heavenly kingdom. So pap and punya, very simple logic. But the problem is that we don't know what is pap and what is punya. For that purpose, we have to read scriptures. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the last shloka says, Tasma shastra pramanam te karya akarya vyavasthito. Means, according to the scriptural rules and regulation, one should understand what is right and what is wrong. And accordingly, we should live our life. Otherwise, we will suffer certainly the heavenly hellish condition of life. So we must read the scripture. We should never think that I know what is good. According to me, this is right, this is wrong. It should not happen like that. We should read scripture. And in that way, we have to be safe from this hellish condition of life. But whether hell or heaven, we are still in the material world. An intelligent person doesn't entangle himself in this hell or heaven. He tries to get out of this condition altogether. And for that purpose, there is a third type of karma. One is punya karma, other is papa karma, and third is called akarma or bhakti karma. Bhakti is different from punya. Sometimes people get confused that, oh, I am doing bhakti. But it may happen that it is a punya only. So punya is different and bhakti is different. So one must perform bhakti process so that he will not occur any punya or papa from his actions. And that kind of action is called nishkama karma yoga, is also there. But nishkama karma yoga then leads to a bhakti yoga. One must perform bhakti yoga in order to get out of this material world and enter into the kingdom of Supreme Personality of Godhead, where we perform nitya seva for the Supreme Lord in his association. So that is how in the next canto, Parikshit Maharaj will be asking that how one can overcome this hellish lifestyle and how a living entity can be relieved from this suffering. And for that purpose, we will hear Ajamil Katha, that how by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can overcome this hellish conditions of life. Hare Krishna. So I know that there is no question. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Hare Krishna. No questions. Hari Hari.